Good morning. I want to say thank you so much to David and Megan for their invitation for me to come be with you today. And thank you to Carol for being the hostess with the mostest this morning. Formerly, I guess, the liturgist, and appreciate that so much. Quite a few members of my family came to be with us this morning and to celebrate Mother's Day with my mom, Phyllis Estep, 1 week late. So my sister and both my brothers and my husband and my brother's girlfriend are here, so that's really special for me as well. Before I share the message, I'm going to ask if you'd pray one more time right before I speak. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that has fallen on this place, is within this room, for your Spirit which is within us, every single one of us as we breathe, the wind, the breath, your Spirit is within us. I pray, Lord, that your words will be in my mouth, that each person here will hear what they most need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. I asked three brave souls to help me this morning, to volunteer, to tell us a little bit about seeds. So let's see, you've got one of them, right? What seed do you have? Peas, okay? And if you're gonna grow peas and they're gonna like flourish and do well, what's the best way to grow some peas? Okay. Oh, pretty fast. All right. Okay, Pentecost is 50 days from Passover, so a little extra for peas, okay? And this gentleman back here, he's one of my brave volunteers. Ah, and growing tomatoes from seed, I'm impressed already. What will help a tomato to grow? Okay. All right, it's a Pentecost fruit. Okay, we can add that. Ryan, we'll add that to the fruit that we shout out. And what about our third brave volunteer? A radish. Oh, my dad loved radishes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Seeds. I mean, I really think seeds are amazing. And the Buddhists believe that we are all born with seeds in us. That every human being is born like with a seed of courage, but also a seed of fear. And we're born with a seed of compassion, but we're also born with a seed of selfishness. That we're born with a seed of anger, but we're also born with a seed of peace. And different Buddhist teachers will tell you about different seeds. Some of them say there are 50 different seeds in each human heart. Some will say 100. Some will say even more. And in the Christian tradition, we have a very similar belief. We believe that human beings are born kind of twofold. That you and I, every single human being, was born in the image of God. Which means every single one of you has stamped in you an imprint of God. Of love, of grace, of forgiveness, of wisdom. All of that is inside you. You were born with it. And so was every single person. But unfortunately, it's not just the good stuff that's in there. We're also born into a world that's a little less than the perfect harmony of the Garden of Eden, which means we're born into a world where we have a tendency towards pride or greed and materialism or maybe even hatred. That all of that stuff is in there mixed together. So which of those seeds are going to grow? What seeds are going to grow in you? what seeds are going to, is it going to be seeds of compassion and grace and kindness, of love and joy and peace, or is it going to be seeds of division, seeds of selfishness, seeds of greed? Well, it all depends. It all depends. It depends on factors that are beyond our control, many things that we don't get to say yes or no to. They're just part of what happens to us in life. And it also depends on things that we do control. So let's start with the things that we don't control. Every farmer, every gardener knows there's a lot of things when you're growing some plants that the farmer doesn't control. I think farmers are probably like very adept at prayer because they don't control the weather, right? You can go weeks with no rain, or you can be in a flood. You can have scorching heat all of a sudden, big surprise, or a very late frost. There's a lot that the farmer, the gardener, does not control, and there's a lot in our lives that we don't control either. A lot of things happen to us. We didn't ask for them, we didn't choose them, but they have a big impact on who we are and how those seeds kind of germinate within us. Now, the good news from a Christian tradition on this day of Pentecost is that we also don't control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is beyond our control. We don't get to put the Holy Spirit in a box. We don't get to tell the Holy Spirit when to come or where to come or what to do. God is in control of the Holy Spirit. And guess what God does with the Holy Spirit? Pours out the Holy Spirit on his people. Pours out the Holy Spirit into you to germinate those seeds in you that are going to bear fruit like love and joy and peace and patience. The Holy Spirit is in you, around you, especially as we gather in this holy place. So what is beyond our control from God's perspective is really good indeed. It's really good news today. Now, there's also what we do control. There's a lot that we have to choose, a lot that is up to us. And in the midst of those choices and the things that we control, there are ways that we can nurture seeds that grow into something that bears different kinds of fruit. Let's say, for instance, that somebody does you wrong. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a former friend. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a boss. Somebody did something wrong to you. Now, one way to nourish a grudge and to grow it into a full-scale bush that's going to bear all kinds of fruit that's going to harm us is to fertilize it and water it and do everything we can. Find some allies. Find some people who will agree with you and tell them everything this person has done wrong to you. Make sure it's somebody who's going to agree with you and say, that is horrible, that's awful, that's... And you have nourished that seed until it grows into a really big plant. And it bears fruit of revenge and bitterness. And if you keep on fertilizing it, you keep on working on it, you can get all the way to hatred and even to violence. But let's say somebody does something wrong to you, and you have the potential for a grudge bush to grow in your soul, but you see it as soon as it starts to grow, and you think, I'm going to treat that thing like a weed. I am not going to nourish that seed. I'm going to look at that seed that's growing, and I'm going to say, you know what, you're a weed, and what I'm going to put on you is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Because after all, you know, I've done stuff that's wrong too. I've done things to people that were misinterpreted or were blown out of proportion, or I was just having a bad day and I said or did the wrong thing. And I pray they're going to forgive me, so maybe in this situation, maybe I could practice forgiveness or understanding or humility or compassion. Now, all of that to put on that grudge bush is not going to make it grow. It's going to shrink into something that bears no fruit a bitterness or revenge or hatred or violence. So a lot of it is up to us. The Holy Spirit is going to bless you. God is going to give you grace and love and God's Holy Spirit. But you and I get to decide. We get to make a lot of choices in our life. Now, I'm going to mention four very, very quickly. And I'm just going to skim the surface because, you know, it could be a whole sermon series, but I'm here for one Sunday. And so what I want to encourage you to do is actually think a little bit more about this. I pray that you will. So four factors that really affect how the seeds that are in us, which seeds are going to grow and bear harvest, that is the kind of harvest that you want, I want, your loved ones want, God wants. And the first one of those is what we see. What we see, what we watch, what we observe. Maybe when you were a little one, those of us who were in Sunday school when we were little, you learned the song, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." Be careful, you remember this one? "Be careful, for your Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see." It matters. It matters what we see. It matters what we watch, what we observe. Let's say you have an hour and you've got to decide, okay, what am I going to watch in this hour? What am I going to observe and see in this hour? Miracle of nature. The way spider webs, and I know some of you don't like spiders, but if they're in the bushes and they're catching mosquitoes and no-see-ums, I really appreciate the spiders. And in the morning when the dew is still on the web and the sunlight catches it, it is a work of art. It's beautiful. Buds. I have all kinds of flowers in my yard, and I have one tree that I've been watching, and other trees in town that are the same kind, got flowers all over them, and mine does not. Finally, one morning, there they are. There's a couple of buds. And finally, one of them opened, and I said to John, look, we finally have one flower on this tree. When you watch nature, guess what happens to your soul? When you observe it closely, it brings wonder to your soul. It touches you with gratitude and even peace, because nature goes at a different pace than things that are unnatural. And when we get involved in nature and we truly watch and observe it, it bears fruit of peace and wonder and gratitude in our lives. Now, let's say instead of for that hour that you were observing nature, listening to the birds, I saw three deer this morning, I'm still so excited. Instead of that hour that you spent, you know, observing and watching and seeing nature, let's say you spent an hour with cable TV news. Yeah, it's easy to spend an hour watching cable. And I'm not saying you shouldn't know what's going on in the world, but I'm just saying, you know, you spend an hour with cable TV news or an hour scrolling social media and reading whatever comes up in your social media. We already know, because they research this all the time, what's the fruit? What's the harvest that comes from watching, observing, seeing, spending a lot of your time watching cable news, TV, that's intended to hook you, to make you angry? That's why they want to enrage you, so you will spend as much time watching it so you cannot miss what's going to happen in the next hour that's going to make you even more angry. Or you know what the fruit of social media is, especially for young people? Low self-esteem, depression, anxiety. We have an epidemic. Now, I'm not saying that social media is bad. There's a lot. Trust me, after a hurricane, when I put on my Facebook feed, this is all the stuff I need to help me get all the soggy stuff out of my house. And I got like 25 loads of laundry that need to be done. And people showed up at my house and they took soggy bedding and clothes that would have been totally ruined. There's so much good that happens with social media. But be careful what you watch. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you observe. Okay, I gotta move. So not only what you see, but also what you hear. You get to choose, for the most part, what you listen to. And you can listen to podcasts that teach you, that develop your spirit. You can listen to really meaningful conversation. You can listen to music that touches that piano. I'm sitting right here. That was beautiful, Ryan, just beautiful. And our music, and you can listen to something that lifts your spirit, that blesses you, that fills your soul with the kinds of things that bring a harvest of good things into your life. Or you can listen to, I'll just pick one, you can listen to gossip. Gossip, I think, it's like one of the deadly sins of the church, to be honest with you. Power struggles and gossip would be near the top of the list for me of, you know, the deadly sins in a church. My mom taught me when I was, my mom Phyllis right here, mom taught me when I was really little, like elementary school, or it might have been, it's probably junior high, because as my husband says, all life is junior high. And so I was probably junior high, and mom said, this is what you do if you're in a situation where they're gossiping about somebody that's not there. I'm like, well, that certainly happens. Say something nice about the person they're talking about. Oh, we're talking about Sam? God, he's got such a great sense of humor. Like, usually you only have to say one nice thing. Because when you say one nice thing, they're like, ooh, she must like Sam. Uh-oh, she might go back to Sam and tell Sam, you know, what we said about him. Sometimes you have a really dyed-in-the-wool gossip and you have to do two nice things. And trust me, you can always think of two nice things to say about anyone. Work on it. You can always, and boom, and you know what? People learn, she doesn't want to listen to that. He doesn't want to hear people saying bad things about other people. You've decided what you're going to listen to, what you're going to pay attention to. So what you see, what you hear, what you think. Believe it or not, we choose, for the most part, what we think about, especially what we dwell on. Now, I have two extremely popular favorite scripture passages about thinking. So I want to share both of them. You'll probably be able to guess what they are, those of you that studied the Bible or went to my dad's Sunday school class. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's a list. Pure and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise. Think about these things. The other one I absolutely love is Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Don't be conformed to the world and the way that the world thinks. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You get to choose, for the most part, what you think about. The fourth one, so the first one was what you see, and the second one was what you hear, third one is what you think, and the fourth one is what you do. Now, there's lots and lots of things in what we do. I mean, this is what we eat, this is what we drink, this is the work that we do, this is the way we volunteer, this is whether or not we rest, this is all the activity, all the actions that we have. There are so, so many things that fit into this category. And what we choose to do, who we choose to serve, how we choose to spend our time, and those kinds of activities that bear fruit like love and joy and peace and patience, the fruit of the Spirit, will make a huge difference in our lives. What we see, what we hear, what we think, what we do. Now, a lot of you here knew my dad, Jim Estep, and some of you may know that my dad was a master gardener. Did you know that? Right after he retired, he went to the county extension program to become a master gardener. And he learned about organic gardening and how to plant marigolds around, you know, and and what to do so he didn't have to use a lot of pesticides. He grew peppers. They grew great. He grew cucumbers because he canned pickles, really, really good pickles. He grew radishes. He grew tomatoes. I don't know, how many tomatoes did you all get, Mom? I've grown tomatoes. I hardly ever get them. The birds and everything else get the tomatoes. There was trouble with the tomatoes. There's always trouble. I don't begrudge the cost of tomatoes, honestly, because they are not easy to grow. So, you know, he was a master gardener, and he grew all this beautiful stuff, and he loved outside. But I want to tell you, the master gardener that was my dad was not vegetables, even though he was that kind of master gardener. It was the seeds that were in his soul, the ones he nourished with reading the Bible every day and saying his prayers and going to visit people that were lonely and studying for his Sunday school class every week. All of that was like fertilizer and water and nourishment to the seeds within him that grew and bore abundant fruit. And we're still in the harvest. We are still in the harvest of my dad's compassion and his kindness and his wisdom. Today is Pentecost. It's a day of harvest. It's 50 days after Passover, when all the seeds were planted in the spring, and now we're looking at the harvest. And what I want to urge you to do this morning is to become a master gardener of your own soul. The good news is the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to do most of the work. The Holy Spirit is like the soil and the rain and the water and the everything that nourishes the plants and all that's beyond our control. The Holy Spirit is going to produce fruit in you, but you get to choose whether you help the Holy Spirit bear that kind of fruit or whether you stand in the way. And I pray this morning on this Pentecost day that you will choose a harvest in your own soul that is the fruit of the Spirit, that's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and other things like wisdom and courage and grace. We get to choose our own harvest. Let us pray. Lord, on this Pentecost day, we're aware, at least I am, of some of the seeds in me that I need to not fertilize, that I want to be really careful that I don't nourish into bearing fruit of anxiety and worry and anger and bitterness and pride and materialism, envy, all those seeds are in me. And I think probably, Lord, they're in all of us. So we pray today that you will help us to treat all of those like weeds and not nourish them, not give them the time of day, not dwell on them, not make them ever bigger than they need to be. And instead, Lord, that you would open our souls and our spirits to the work of your Holy Spirit, and we would allow you to bear abundant fruit in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.